Acuérdate, Señor, de tu gran misericordia y santifica a tus siervos con tu constante protección, ya que por ellos Cristo, tu Hijo, derramando su sangre, instituyó el misterio pascual, el que reina por los siglos de los siglos.
Amén. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of men. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see, and those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny? He was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sin of his people. A grave was assigned to him among the wicked, and a burial place with evildoers, though he had done no wrong nor spoken any falsehood. But the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. He shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, I pray.
put my life in your hands. Father, I put my life in your hands. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. Father, I put my life in your hands. For all my foes, I am an object of reproach. A laughing stock to my neighbors and a dread to my friends. They who see me abroad flee from me. I am forgotten like unremembered dead. I am like a dish that is broken. Father, I put my life in your hands. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. Father, I put my life in your hands. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. Take courage and be stout-hearted, all you who hope in the Lord. Father, I put my life in your hands.
Lectura de la carta a los Hebreos. Hermanos, Jesús, el Hijo de Dios, es nuestro sumo sacerdote, que ha entrado en el cielo. Mantengamos firme la profesión de nuestra fe. En efecto, no tenemos un sumo sacerdote que no sea capaz de compadecerse de nuestros sufrimientos, puesto que Él mismo ha pasado por las mismas pruebas que nosotros, excepto el pecado. Acerquémonos, por tanto, con plena confianza al trono de la gracia, para recibir misericordia, hallar la gracia y obtener ayuda en el momento oportuno. Precisamente por eso, Cristo, durante su vida mortal, ofreció oraciones y súplicas, con fuertes voces y lágrimas, a aquel que podía librarlo de la muerte, y fue escuchado por su piedad. A pesar de que era el Hijo, aprendió a obedecer padeciendo, y llegada a su perfección, se convirtió en la causa de salvación eterna para todos los que lo obedecen. Palabra de Dios.
Te alabamos, Señor.
Glory to you, O Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we begin the Passion, please know that you can follow along with our worship aid that can be found on the St. Albert the Great website underneath our live stream box. Vamos a rezar el Pasión de Nuestro Señor Jesucristo en inglés, pero ustedes pueden leer este Evangelio, este Pasión en español. En la página de San Alberto Magno hay una página donde ustedes pueden ver en español este Pasión de Nuestro Señor Jesucristo en la forma de San Juan.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden, into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered him,
"Jesus the Nazarene."
He said to them,
"I am."
Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So he again asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus the Nazarene."
Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?"
So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guards seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. Then the maid, who was the gatekeeper, said to Peter,
You are not one of the man's disciples, are you?
He said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold and were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather, and in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm, and they said to him,
"You are not one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said,
"Didn't I see you in the garden with him?"
Again, Peter denied it, and immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him,
"If we were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you."
At this, Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law."
The Jews answered him,
"We don't have the right to execute anyone."
In order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?"
Pilate answered,
"I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered,
"My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here."
So Pilate said to him,
"Then you are a king."
Jesus answered,
"You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate said to him,
"What is truth?"
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
"I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
They cried out again,
"No, this one, but Barabbas.
Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown out of the thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said,
"Hey, King of the Jews."
And they struck him repeatedly. Once more, Pilate went out and said to them,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him."
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, and he said to them,
"Behold the man."
When the chief priest and the guards saw him, they cried out,
Crucify him!
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him."
The Jews answered,
We have a law, and according to that law, we ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.
Now, when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
"Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and I have the power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him,
"You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin."
Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out,
If you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar's.
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews,
"Behold, your king."
They cried out,
Take him away. Take him away. Crucify him.
Pilate said to them,
"Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priest answered,
We have no king but Caesar's.
Then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate,
Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another,
Let's not tear, but cast lots for it, to see who is with thee.
In order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said,
"I thirst."
There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And bowing his head, he handed over the Spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled: not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus, and Pilate permitted it. So he came and took his body. Nicodemus, the one who had at first come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths along with the spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now, in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If some of you are thinking right now, this is one weird mass, you're right. On Good Friday, this particular service is not a mass. And I know that some might be participating in the Good Friday service for the first time. And it is meant intentionally to be different than what we're used to from other masses. The reason why is during Good Friday, we remember how our Lord was in the tomb. And no mass is celebrated anywhere in the world on Good Friday. We consecrate extra communion on Holy Thursday. And when we distribute communion on Good Friday, we're distributing from that last mass on Holy Thursday. These last few weeks, you've been living out what happens today in your lives. The reason why we don't celebrate Mass on Good Friday is to remind us of what our lives are like when Jesus is in the tomb. And I think we've all experienced ways of being in that place of the tomb. As I've talked, heard different stories, I've heard of that place, of that longing. This year, Good Friday, unfortunately, will stretch for more than one day. We'll see how long, and we pray that it ends sooner rather than later. But today on Good Friday, we especially focus on the cross. One of the favorite crosses that I've ever seen was a cross that was actually covered in mirrors, so that when you looked at this cross, you saw yourself. And it's something good for us to ask ourselves. When we look at the cross, what do we see? Those who are not Christian and are unfamiliar don't understand the cross. In fact, many people who are not familiar with Christianity are horrified by the cross. Sometimes I think we as Christians, we forget just how horrific in one sense the cross was. It was one of the greatest torture instruments. It was meant to signify Roman power and to say, if you step out of line, this is what's going to happen to you. How fitting that that is the very symbol that has become more identified with Christianity than any other. God took a symbol of death, a symbol of despair, a symbol of torture a symbol of pain and totally transformed it so that when a Christian looks upon it, we see a symbol of hope, of new life, of victory. We remember the cross because if God can do this to the cross, what can he do for each and every single one of us? You see, the reason why the person who made that cross with the mirrors on it was so that we would see our reflection in that particular cross. We would see that no matter how broken we are, how sinful, how far we've strayed from God, that if God can transform the cross into the symbol of hope that it now is, God can do that for every single one of us. And I think especially on this Good Friday, when so many feel defeated, when so many feel despair, we need to turn to the cross as never before. The cross reminds us this is not the end. There will be a time after this pandemic. There will be a new beginning. There will be a transformation. We're still in the tomb right now. We're still in that moment of being in that place where it seems that there is much defeat. But we will get to that place of experiencing the victory, of experiencing the new life that God desires to grant to each and every single one of us. One of my favorite lines in the scriptural version of the Stations of the Cross that we prayed earlier today is remembering that line of how in every defeat there can be an experience and a moment of victory. I invite us, when we behold the wood of the cross tonight, reflect on what it is that you have felt defeated in during these last few weeks. Maybe you felt defeated because you've lost a job. You've lost a loved one. You have lost your ability to go outside, to interact with loved ones. So much loss, so much defeat in so many people's lives at this time. When we go to the cross today, let us bring every one of those defeats. Let us bring every way that maybe we felt we have fallen more into sin than normal, that this has been one of the worst Lents, one of the worst Holy Weeks for us, because we have fallen into temptations we normally wouldn't fall into. Whatever that place of defeat you experience right now, that is what we bring and we lay at the foot of the cross. The reason we venerate the wood of the cross on Good Friday is to bring our sins there, to lay them there, to lay our defeats there, to let go of them. And then when we rise, after venerating the wood of the cross, we let those things go to God, and we allow God to transform us, just as God transformed the cross. Let us today let go of all that we have been holding on to. I now offer a few words in Spanish. Gracias a todos ustedes para su presencia en este servicio. En este Viernes Santo, hermanos y hermanas, no celebramos una misa, porque Viernes Santo es un recuerdo que Jesús está en la tumba. Y no tenemos el costumbre de celebrar la Santa Misa en Viernes Santo. Estas últimas semanas son muchas semanas como de Viernes Santo. Sin misa en una forma. Yo sé que ustedes pueden ver y escuchar la Santa Misa porque ustedes no pueden estar presentes físicamente. Es como Viernes Santo. Pero tenemos también la oportunidad de ofrecer adoración al Señor en la señal de la cruz. Es muy importante, hermanos y hermanas, de recordar el significado de la Santa Cruz, que antes del sacrificio de Jesús, la cruz fue un instrumento de muchísimo sufrimiento, de muerte, de la victoria de los romanos contra el mundo. Pero Jesús transformó este señal. Jesús transformó la madera de la cruz a un símbolo de esperanza, de la victoria de Dios, de una vida nueva en Cristo. Esta es la razón por que tenemos esta oportunidad de ofrecer adoración a la Santa Cruz. Pero hay momentos en nuestras vidas, hermanos, hermanas, cuando no podemos conectar con esta victoria. Cuando es fácil de pensar que todo está perdido. En este Viernes Santo, tenemos la oportunidad de dejar todo, todo, a los pies de Jesús, de dejar todo bajo de la Santa Cruz y decir: Señor, yo quiero dejar todo, mis angustias, mis pérdidas, mi falta de trabajo, mi falta de contacto con mis familiares y mi familia, todos los sufrimientos y las dificultades que tengo en este momento con este virus. Podemos dejar todas estas cosas bajo de la cruz de Cristo. Y cuando alguien va a dejar todo, una persona puede tener una experiencia de la victoria de Cristo. Y que Cristo puede transformar todos los sufrimientos y dificultades que tenemos en una experiencia de victoria. Este es un momento, hermanos y hermanas, de dejar todo a Dios, de venerar la Santa Cruz y de tener confianza en el Señor, que Él puede transformarnos, que no importa nuestros pecados, que el Señor puede transformar cada cosa que tenemos en nuestros corazones. La única cosa que necesitamos hacer es dejar todo bajo de la Santa Cruz. Así sea. Wanted to conclude by mentioning that we have the blessing of this relic of the true cross with us tonight. So especially as we have this live stream, it's an opportunity as we venerate the wood of the cross to also venerate this piece of the true cross that we have with us. Tenemos esta noche, hermanos y hermanas, un pedacito de la cruz de Cristo con nosotros aquí enfrente. Y ustedes tienen oportunidad de venerar esta Santa Cruz esta noche con nosotros. We'll now be transitioning to the part of the Mass of this service where we will offer our petitions. Usually there are 10 petitions. This year there'll be an 11th, which has been created especially for praying for all that the world is experiencing with the coronavirus pandemic. And know that we'll be standing and will be kneeling at different moments and going back and forth between English and Spanish, so you can look at the worship aid that we have on the St. Albert the Great website to be able to understand what will be said in the petition when we're in the Spanish section. Vamos a ofrecer peticiones especiales en este momento, a veces en inglés, a veces en español, y tenemos una forma en la página de la parroquia de San Alberto Magno que es bilingüe, y que cuando vamos a rezar una petición en inglés, ustedes pueden rezar en español.
por la Santa Iglesia.
Let us pray, dearly beloved, for the Holy Church of God, that our God and Lord be pleased to give her peace, to guard her, and to unite her throughout the whole world, and grant that, leading our life in tranquility and quiet, we may glorify God the Father Almighty. Let us kneel. Let us stand.
O mighty ever-living God, who in Christ revealed your glory to all the nations, watch over the works of your mercy, that your church spread throughout all the world may persevere with steadfast faith in confessing your name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For the Pope.
Oremos también por nuestro Santo Padre, el Papa Francisco, para que Dios nuestro Señor, que lo eligió entre los obispos, lo asiste y proteja para bien de su Iglesia, como guía y pastor del pueblo santo de Dios. Arrodillémonos.
Dios todopoderoso y eterno, cuya providencia gobierna todas las cosas, atiende nuestras súplicas y protege con tu amor al Papa que nos has elegido para que el pueblo cristiano, confiado por ti a su guía pastoral, progrese siempre en la fe. Por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amén. Por el pueblo de Dios y sus ministros,
let us pray also for our Bishop Joe, for all bishops, priests, and deacons of the church, and for the whole of the faithful people. Let us kneel. Let us stand.
Almighty, ever-living God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is sanctified and governed, hear our humble prayer for your ministers, that by the gift of your grace, all may serve you faithfully, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For catechumens.
Oremos también por los nuestros catecúmenos, para que Dios nuestro Señor los ilumine internamente y les comunique su amor, y para que mediante el bautismo se les perdone todos sus pecados y queden cooperados a Cristo nuestro Señor. Arrodillémonos. Levantémonos.
Dios todopoderoso y eterno, que sin cesar concedes nuevos hijos a tu iglesia, aumenta en los nuestros catecúmenos el conocimiento de su fe, para que puedan renacer por el bautismo a la vida nueva de tus hijos de adopción.
Amén. Por la unidad de los cristianos.
Let us pray also for all our brothers and sisters who believe in Christ, that our God and Lord may be pleased as they live the truth, to gather them together and keep them in his one church. Let us kneel. Let us stand.
Almighty, ever-living God, who gather what is scattered and keep together what you have gathered, look kindly on the flock of your Son, that those whom one baptism has consecrated may be joined together by integrity of faith and united in the bond of charity, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For the Jewish people.
Oremos también por el pueblo judío, al que Dios es digno hablar por medio de los profetas, para que el Señor le conceda progresar continuamente en el amor a su nombre y en la fidelidad a su alianza. Arroyímonos.
Dios todopoderoso y eterno, que prometiste llenar de bendiciones a Abraham y a su descendencia, escucha las súplicas de tu iglesia y concede al pueblo de la primitiva alianza alcanzar la plenitud de la redención. Por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amén. Por los que todavía no creen en Cristo.
Let us pray also for those who do not believe in Christ, that enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they too may enter on the way of salvation. Let us kneel. Let us stand.
Almighty, ever-living God, grant to those who do not confess Christ that by walking before you with a sincere heart, they may find the truth, and that we ourselves, being constant in mutual love and striving to understand more fully the mystery of your life, may be made more perfect witnesses to your love in the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For those who do not believe in God.
Oremos también por los que no conocen a Dios, para que obren siempre con bondad y rectitud, y puedan llegar así a conocer adiós. Arrodillémonos. Levantémonos.
Dios todopoderoso y eterno, que has hecho a los hombres en tal forma que en todo, aún sin saberlo, te busquen, y solo al encontrarte hay en descanso. Concédenos que en medio de las adversidades de este mundo, todos reconozcan las señales de tu amor, y estimulados por el testimonio de nuestra vida, tengan por fin la alegría de creer en ti, único Dios verdadero y Padre de todos los hombres, por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amén. Por los gobernantes.
Let us pray also for those in public office, that our God and Lord may direct their minds and hearts according to his will, for the true peace and freedom of all. Let us kneel. Let us stand.
Almighty, ever-living God, in whose hand lies every human heart and the rights of peoples, look with favor, we pray, on those who govern with authority over us, that throughout the whole world the prosperity of peoples, the assurance of peace and freedom of religion may through your gift be made secure, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For those in tribulation.
Oremos, hermanos muy queridos, a Dios Padre Todopoderoso, para que libre al mundo de todas sus miserias, de salud a los enfermos y pan a los que tienen hambre, libre a los encarcelados y haga justicia a los oprimidos, conceda seguridad a los que viajan, un pronto retorno a los que encuentran lejos del hogar, y la vida eterna a los moribundos. Arrodillémonos. Levantémonos.
Dios todopoderoso y eterno, consuelo de los afligidos y fortaleza de los que sufren, escucha a los que te invocan en su tribulación, para que experimenten todos los alegrías de tu misericordia, por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amén. Por aquellos sufriendo por la actual pandemia.
Let us pray, dearly beloved, to God the Father Almighty, that he may extend his hand in mercy and consolation to all those affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Let us kneel.
Almighty ever-living God, heal those who are ill. Give solace to all who are afraid and alone. Protect those who are providing medical care and embrace those who have died. Make us instruments of your peace among our brothers and sisters. In your mercy, alleviate our fears and eliminate this scourge, so that we may come together again to give you praise and to build your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This time we'll have the opportunity to do the veneration of the cross, so we'll be shifting into this time now.
Behold the wood of the cross, upon which hung the salvation of the world. Behold the wood of the cross, upon which hung the salvation of the world. Behold the wood of the cross, upon which hung the salvation of the world.
This time you have the opportunity to adore, venerate the cross in your home or also virtually. Know that if you have a cross in your home, it's very appropriate at this time to offer a kiss, to place your hand, but especially, as I mentioned in the homily, to reflect on whatever it is that makes you feel defeated at this time. What is it that you want to lay at the foot of the cross? We'll be singing the reproaches. En este momento, ustedes tienen la oportunidad de ofrecer oración a la Santa Cruz aquí virtualmente, o si ustedes tienen un cruz en su casa, este es un buen momento de ofrecer un beso, un acto de reverencia a la cruz, y este es un momento muy poderoso de ofrecer todas sus cargas, tus dificultades, y de dejarlos a los pies al bajo de la Santa Cruz.
Thank you. Safely through the desert. I fed you with manna from heaven and brought you to a land of plenty, but you led your Savior to the cross.
Agios, O Theos.
For you, I planted you as my fairest vine, but you yielded only bitterness. When I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar to drink, and you pierced your Savior's side with a lance. Agios, O Theos,
Sanctus Deus,
Agios, Ischiros,
Sanctus.
Oh,
animas.
Sanctus immortalis miserere nobis.
For your sake I scourged your captors and their firstborn sons, but you brought your scourges down on me. Populi meus, quid feciti?
From slavery to freedom, and drowned your captors in the sea. But you handed me over to your high priest.
Populi meus, quid feciti? In quo contrista vitae responde mi. I open the sea before you, but you open my side with a spear.
Pillar of cloud, but you led me to Pilate's court.
Populi meus, quid feciti tibi, aut in quo responde mi. I bore you up with manna in the desert, but you struck me down and scourged me. Populi meus, quid feciti tibi, aut in quo contrista vitae responde.
I gave you saving water from the rock, but you gave me gall and vinegar to drink.
Populi meus, quid feciti tibi?
Struck down the king of Canaan, but you struck my head with a reed. O Polemeus, quid fecit tibi? Aut in quo
gave me a crown of thorns.
Populemeus, quid fecit tibi? Aut in quo to the height of majesty, but you have raised me high on a cross. Populemeus, quid fecit tibi? Aut in quo contrista vitae? Responde mi.
Now proceed with the third part of our service. And let us now stand and pray the Lord's Prayer.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to sing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
This time invites you to make an act of spiritual communion. En este momento, ustedes pueden rezar oración para hacer un comunión espiritual. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Creo, Jesús mío, que estás real y verdaderamente en el cielo y en el santísimo sacramento del altar. Os amo sobre todas las cosas, y deseo vivamente recibirte dentro de mi alma, pero no pudiendo hacerlo ahora sacramentalmente, venir al menos espiritualmente a mi corazón, y como si ya os hubiese recibido, os abrazo y me uno del todo a ti. Señor, no permitas que jamás me aparte de ti. Amén.
causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you
Oremos, Dios Todopoderoso Eterno, que nos has redimido con la gloriosa muerte y resurrección de tu Hijo Jesucristo, prosigue en nosotros la obra de tu misericordia, para que mediante nuestra participación en este misterio, permanezcamos dedicados a tu servicio, por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amen.
Thank you all for joining us for this live stream. And again, sorry for any technical difficulties that we've had. We'll continue to pray and to go forward. Special thanks to all those who helped in this liturgy, especially for Father Piega's help with the technical aspect, and especially for our musicians as well. And please know that our Easter vigil will be at 40 tomorrow. So hope you'll be able to join us for our Easter vigil, and we will have a live stream of the Divine Mercy Novena tomorrow on Holy Saturday at 3 p.m. as well.
Inclinen su cabeza por la bendición.
Envía, Señor, sobre este pueblo tuyo que ha conmemorado la muerte de tu Hijo en espero de su resurrección, la abundancia de tu bendición, llegue a él tu perdón. Reciba tu consuelo, sea creciente su fe santa y se consolida de su eterna redención. Por Jesucristo nuestro Señor.
Amén.